Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. Mafia is running it. I had a box of, let's just get this down straight. I had this box of like these Ritz cheese crispers or something like this. These are some new thing they got going on. I don't even know. They're probably not even called that. But they're like, I mean, they got this cheddar one, and then they got one that's like four cheese and herb. And they're like crispers, Ritz crispers or something like this. And I mean to tell you, I ate both boxes of them. Like they weren't even there. And I mean, these cheddar ones were so hardcore. If I was a mouse right now, it'd be better than sex. And then, and it was so good. I ate the whole box. And then I was just so deep into it that I had to go tear open the second box, which was the four cheese and herb. And I ate pretty much like 70% of that box. I left a couple of danglers for the family. But when I get going on stuff, like Ritz crackers, Ritz crispers, any kind of Doritos, when I get going on it, the family size bag, it doesn't even matter. The bigger the bag, the better for me. I'll just eat it all. You know, one of the good things is that I work out a lot. So for an old fart, I'm in great shape, right? And I pretty much, I'm on a seafood diet. If I see food, I eat it. It doesn't matter. I do eat well a couple nights a week where I'll eat salmon and a salad. And then like some nights I'll have chicken and a salad. But then, you know, other nights I'll eat pizza and, you know, whatever, spaghetti, sausage and peppers, steaks, burgers. I don't discriminate. I'll eat anything. But if I get going on junk food, forget it. I mean, once I get going on it, it's over. I can eat a pint of ice cream and like it's not even there. Depends on how baked you are. If you're really baked, you can bust off a pint of like Haagen-Dazs, easy. Swiss almond vanilla, boom, done. No problem. I'm like a champion. So anyway, the point of this was that I ate the two boxes of the cheesy crispers, right? And I mean to tell you right now, I have like the most kicking breath that you can even fathom. I mean, I have burning hot, like cheese-covered tongue breath, like from hell. I mean, it is just so overwhelming. It's knocking me out. Like I'm sitting here doing the show and it's just reverb off of the mic and right back in my, I got my Metallica mic here and it is kicking right back into my face and it is overwhelming. If I was a chick right now on a date with me, I would run. I would just be running the other way. So anyway, it is very, I always know I got bad breath when it's burning. You know what I mean? When you got like a, it's like a heaty type feeling in the back of your throat. It's like there's a little heat coming in there, a little oven heat. It's generally kicking breath when there's a little heat coming out. And I got the cheese, the cheddar and the four cheese herb kicking breath going right now. And I mean to tell you, I could knock over a herd of elephants. So when I go up to shut it down tonight in the Farrell Palatial, I have to hit the scope, and I have the intense scope. I don't know if you've ever tried it yet. They have this one, this extreme scope. It's like extreme, like when you put it in your mouth, it's like acid. It's so strong. We welcome our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Mighty Ear 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, USA Armed Forces Radio, Sorrell on the Bench. So anyway, I can't tell you how much of a pain in the ass that is every minute of my life, every day. I just wanted to say that. It really isn't that big of a deal, but it is a pain in my ass. So anyway, I'm going to have to chug this stuff tonight, Mafia, because my breath is so kicking with the four cheese and the cheddar. I mean, the cheddar was so thick. Literally, when I brought out the bag, I mean, like I was like the Pied Piper. There were millions of mice everywhere, all over the community in New York City. The mice and rats came running. I was like the Pied Piper. I mean, there was so much cheese on these crispers. It was dripping off it. I gave one to 34C. She was naked in 5 seconds. She was ready to go. There was so much cheddar cheese on these crispers that she was ready to go. She's like, those are the most delicious things I've ever had. I'm like, I mean, they are something else. But I have the most kicking breath right now. Cheese, burning hot cheese breath. I mean, like, as if I ate an entire loaf of garlic bread. That's how bad my breath is right now. I think it's important that we analyze this because I haven't even started talking about the rest of the Met story yet. I haven't even started talking about the gymnasts yet, talking about the FBI, turning a blind eye to the Larry Nassar sexual predator charges and rape and assault and everything else. I haven't even been able to get to those stories yet because my breath is so heated like an oven. Like it's like a microwave oven. Like a hot bowl of pasta vajoule with just dripping cheese in the back of my throat, kicking breath. I mean, honestly, I might pass out. My breath's so bad, the whole room in here smells. It's worse than farts. It's unbelievable, Mafia.
We're no ordinary sports talk network. Not only do we have a roster of world-class experts, but they tell you gaming strategies to help you win. Any simpler, and we'd have to hold your hand.
And nobody wants that.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The thing about the Mets 30 for 30 once upon a time in Queens that stood out to me the most was, and I said earlier that I actually, for the first time ever in my life, got excited watching those highlights again. And those games and the memories of those games came flooding back. And I remember watching those games vividly in 1986, all of them, every single game. And I remembered all of the players. I remembered all of the games and the moments in those games. And the Astros series was, it was unbelievable. The more you think about it, I think the Astros series was better than the World Series because the reality of it was is that the Mets actually played better in the Astros series than they did in the World Series. In the World Series against Boston, they really were, frankly, the weakest point of their season. I know that sounds absurd, but it's true. They weren't hitting on all cylinders. When they played the Red Sox, they were down 2-0. They were down in game 6, should have lost the World Series. They were one strike away. They should have lost, but they didn't. And they'll admit in the entire series, they talk about that was the worst that they played. That series was the worst baseball they played maybe the whole year. Because if you remember, They did dominate baseball. They did dominate the East. They did kick everyone's ass all year. In 85, they just fell short. In 86, they went to spring training in Port St. Lonesome, and they were off and running, and they kicked everyone's ass all year. And I mean to tell you, they were the deal. They were a traveling circus. They were a bunch of ragtag partiers. They were fighters. They were tough. I said last night, maybe today on Coast to Coast, I mean, every time they played the Pirates, they got in a fight. There was a brawl every time. I mean, they had bench-clearing brawls every time they played them. They hated each other's guts. And, you know, Bonilla and Bonds were playing. They were young in their career, but they were studs. They had the Killer Bees. They had Van Slyke. They had all these really good Drabek. They had good pitchers, right? So all I remember is that when they beat the Red Sox, they weren't at the best, but they still got it done. And Ray Knight was the MVP. And the thing that stood out to me more than anything else watching it was, and it was great to relive it. It really was. Because first of all, like I said, I hated the Mets. So it may have been the most unappealing World Series for me ever, because I hated the Red Sox. I hated the Mets. I just didn't care. But to watch it again and then to see what they did and to sit back as an objective observer and just not have hatred toward them, not care, because I already knew what happened. I already knew the outcome, right? So there was no, I wonder what's going to happen here. There was none of that. It was like, you don't know what's going to happen this Sunday in the NFL, but we knew what happened in 1986. It's, you know, Captain Obvious here. So I just sat back and watched it. I was like, but as I watched it, the more I watched it, the longer I watched it, because it was 4 hours, I just got more into it. And I was like happy for them. I was like almost cheering for them in those moments of success when they were winning games against the Astros and winning that series and then winning the World Series. I was actually like pounding my feet, clapping and cheering for them, even though I knew they had won it. And I was just reliving it all. And it was beautiful. It was a cool moment for me in my life, because here's a team that I hated my whole life, hated them. And there I was actually happy for them. And their fans. I think it was more of the fans. I have to say, the best part of the entire thing for me was not the highlights, the replays of the games, the big hits, the home runs, the stories of players, the interviews with the players, the humor of it. Like Lenny Dykstra was really funny. Everyone was involved in it, everyone. But the best part of it was the fans. They kept showing these fans, and they were absolutely batshit crazy. I mean, they were absolutely crazy. When they beat the, when they beat the Astros and charged that field, I've never seen anything like it. Like, I couldn't believe what I saw when they, when the fans poured onto the Shea Stadium field and destroyed the field. And I mean, there must've been 20,000 fans that it was, the place was full. It was sold out, but at least 20,000 fans ran onto that field and destroyed the field. They tore up chunks of the outfield. They stole all the bases, home plate, everything. They were crazy. The cops were beating fans with nightsticks, and they didn't care. They just did not care. They were so drunk, and they were so crazy, and they were so happy, and they were so lit that it didn't matter if someone was beating them with a nightstick. They just didn't give a rat's ass. And I mean to tell you, I mean, without a doubt, I have never seen a stadium ever in any ballpark ever anywhere rowdier than Shea Stadium was when they beat the Red Sox in that game six. I have never in my life seen a baseball crowd literally jump out of their skin and jump up and down and make love to one another. People you didn't even know. There were people tonguing each other that didn't even know each other. There were people having sex. There were people stripping. There were people chugging. There were people smoking doobies and cigars and cigarettes and drinking booze. And I've never seen, it was orgasmic. That crowd was crazy. They were absolutely crazy. They said, they literally said that the stadium shook and the rafters were shaking. The upper deck was moving. And that no one felt safe in the stadium because they thought it was going to collapse. And I've been to Shea Stadium a million times. It was a dump later in those years. In 86, the place was a dump. It really was. It was an old dump. And I have never in my life seen anything like it in sports ever in a baseball stadium. Never. Nothing. I don't care who you are. I don't care what World Series you're talking about. I don't care what team you're talking about. Nothing in Los Angeles, nothing in San Francisco, nothing in Chicago, not Wrigley Field, not Fenway in Boston when they started winning World Series. Nothing. Not even close. Not even Yankee Stadium. Nothing in my life have I ever seen rowdier than Shea Stadium in 1986. I've never seen anything like that. Those fans were absolutely on crack. And they were just absolutely beautiful and nuts. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Like, so I've seen, everything. I'm 56, so I've seen everything. And, I mean, literally, what haven't I seen? I go way back. I started watching baseball and literally, I went to the World Series in 1971 in the Pirates and Orioles, okay? So I was 6 years old. I was sitting at a World Series game. So I've seen it all. And I've never seen anything like that crowd at Shea Stadium. I mean, you know how like they'll show stuff like, you know, Studio 54, people dancing and discos and all this stuff from back in the day in New York City and, you know, nightclubs now or whatever, concerts or, you know, these Lollapaloozas and Bonnaroos and the one out in Coachella and all these people are partying and dancing and mosh pitting and slam dancing and all the rest. You could take every one of those things, all of them, put them in a blender. Turn it on, and a wood chipper when you're done with the blender, and blow it up 5 million times over, and it still couldn't hold a candle to Shea Stadium in 1986 in October. I have never in my life, I have been to Stanley Cup Finals game sevens. I have been to every, I have been inside the rowdiest hockey arenas on the face of the earth. None of it. Nothing can even come close to what I saw at Shea Stadium in 1986. Now, I'll tell you another one. You can talk about Penn State. You can talk about Ohio State. You can talk about the Big House. You can talk about the Rose Bowl. You can talk about the Cotton Bowl. You can talk about any stadium anywhere for football. And I still haven't seen a rowdier stadium than Shea Stadium in 1986 in October at the World Series. I have never in my life seen fans going that ballistic and dancing and jumping up and down. And I mean, it was beautiful. It was the most beautiful thing ever. The only thing that can even compare to it at all is, I think at some level, when you win the World Cup and they show, like, you know, Paris, or, you know, when they signed Messi, that was a scene. When you win the World Cup and, you know, an entire country is celebrating and they show millions of people celebrating at once in a, you know, big city. When they win the World Cup, that's the only thing that can compare to it, in my opinion. Because, you know, I don't know how many people, I don't remember exactly how many people sat in Shea Stadium, but I think it was somewhere around 50,000 or something like that. I could be wrong, but it could have been smaller than that. Who knows? But I've never seen a rowdier crowd in my life. Like, you know, I know that during the COVID, there were no fans and all the rest, but I've seen everything. I've seen the Yankees win a bunch of World Series. I've seen it all. And how many?
Just over 57,000 was the official baseball capacity.
Well, there you go. It's 57,000. I thought it was 50. So there you go. And I'm telling you, there's nothing I've ever seen. And I'm literally... Super Bowls. I've been to 15 Super Bowls. I've never seen anything like it. And I mean that. And I hate the Mets. But I think they were the rowdiest, craziest, lunatic fringe fans I have ever seen in my life. I literally, there were people having sex at the game. I mean, right in the middle of the stands. I mean, it was an orgy. I'm not even kidding. Mafia, you are too young to remember that, like, vividly, or to know the details of
right
how crazy it was then. You were like a little boy. When were you born?
85. I was 1 year old when that happened. You know,
okay, so you were 1 year old, so you know nothing of that time, but
nope,
memories and highlights and stories, right? But to actually, but you've been to Shea, but you've never been to Shea ever. When it's that rowdy. No, you've never come close to being at Shea or City ever combined. You've been at both stadiums. You couldn't combine old Shea and City Field and still have, and I think the new one's like 36,000 or something like that, 40,000. And all I know is you could combine both of them in your lifetime and you've never seen a crowd that rowdy. Yeah, I know you've seen the highlights. You've never seen anything like that.
No, I've never been part of anything like that. I've been there for some, you know, decent games, but I've never even been there for playoff games, let alone, you know, World Series on a run like that where, you know, the players are going crazy, where half the people in the stands are probably high themselves. It was just an insane time period. I mean, even, you know, not that it's anywhere near that time, but they had all the 9/11 stuff this weekend, obviously, with the Mets and Yankees series and the anniversary of that. And you hear them talking to guys like Mike Piazza, and he says, like, hey, City feels, you know, beautiful, but Shea Stadium, there was something special about that, like the crowd and everything. So a guy like that who just had like the one big homer, he had a bunch of big homers, but especially the one when they came back from 9/11, for him to say that, and that's not even half of what happened because everyone was tentative at that point. That's nothing compared to what they were like in 86.
You can't even compare them. But I remember that night vividly because I was living in New York, and I live in New York now. So I remember vividly Piazza's home run. And, you know, you and I are friends with him. So he's told us that story. All I know is that 1986 was the greatest baseball crowd in the history of Major League Baseball. And everyone can kiss my ass if you think you have some better story than that. There is no better story. And you're listening to a guy that hates them. I hate them. And I'm giving them that much respect that much respect from someone that loathes the Mets. I've never liked them. I hated them my whole life. But I'm giving them that much respect. It's got to mean something to you listening to this. When I tell you that was the rowdiest sporting event I've ever seen in my life, I have never seen people behave like that ever at a sporting event. You think you know some story better than that? You're imagining things. Listen, I have sat here and thought about it over and over. As I was watching it, all I can think of, you would have thought tonight I was going to tell you stories about the baseball, about the games, or about the Buckner grounder, or about any of the players individually, Knight or Carter or Hernandez or the cocaine or the uppers or Strawberry and Gooden and the cocaine and the women and beating women. I mean, Strawberry was beating his wife right in the middle of the World Series. So all I know is none of that matters to me at all compared to what that meant to New Yorkers. I mean, what that meant to it takes my breath away. What that meant to Mets fans and to New York and to New Yorkers that summer in 86, it was the most fanatical, lunatic fringe, crazy Shaq you have ever seen in your life. And I mean to tell you, the whole city was lit like they were on crack, like they were smoking crack. I mean, everyone was crazy. And they were screaming and yelling and partying, and people were making out. And they didn't even know who they were making out with. And people were taking their clothes. When they won that series and they raided that field, 20,000 people, they didn't care that they were being beaten by nightsticks, by the Popo. When the World Series came in game 7, in the 8th inning, they literally brought out 100 cops, NYPD horse patrol, with the most gigantic horses ever concocted in a lab you've ever seen in your life. Those weren't normal horses. Those horses were the size of literally Rome. The horses were the size of the Rome. That's how big the horses were. I mean, the biggest horses you've ever seen in your life with cops on top of them. And they came out 300 deep. And they were like, "You're not coming on this field tonight to party. You've already ruined it once. You're not doing it." Because it was the rowdiest thing you have ever seen in your life. More so than Disco Demolition Night at Comiskey Park. More than anything I've ever seen in my life, bar none. Bar none. That's it right there. That baseball stadium was on its head. I thought the thing was going to collapse. It was, people said it was swaying. I know there's a lot of stories of stadiums swaying, but there's nothing that can compare to what I saw. And if you don't believe me, go watch it. Go watch that 86 World Series celebration at Shea Stadium. Go watch Game 6 and Game 7, and you will see something like you've never seen before in your life. I mean, fans like completely off their rocker. It's Pharrell on the Bench.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go find a clover patch, get down on all fours, and find one with four leaves. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get any ticks. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the Bench with you. So the other thing today that just blew my mind was the gymnasts that went on Capitol Hill in front of the Senate and talked about Larry Nassar. Now, I got to be honest with you. I just don't care about gymnastics. Okay? So call me whatever you want. I'm a horrible person. And I have no interest in gymnastics. Although Mafia knows I did sleep with a gymnast from Michigan State for a couple of years in Chicago until she set all my clothes on fire. She was really good in bed, I have to say. But other than that, I have no connection to gymnastics. Although I did know a gymnast growing up that was smoking hot too, and her sister. I wanted to sleep with both of them, but that never happened. But I tried desperately for years to get in bed with both of them at the same time. The goal was not to sleep with both of them. It was to sleep with both of them at the same time. It just didn't work out. And Mafia knows that those are all my gymnastics stories, but they're all true. Anyway, today I was fascinated by gymnastics because I watched those women, those brave women, go to Capitol Hill and talk and testify. And what's amazing to me about the whole story was not the fact that they did it, because Larry Nassar's already serving life. I mean, let's stop with all the nonsense. He was sentenced to 175 years in federal prison. And he pled guilty to 7 counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct with children under the age of 16. He was already serving a 60-year prison sentence after being convicted on child pornography charges. I actually heard on the network news tonight with David Muir, someone mentioned that he's probably never getting out of jail. And I was eating dinner and I spit out my salmon and I was like, probably. If that guy ever sees the light of day from federal prison, when you're convicted of what he was convicted of and given 175 years, there is no way in living hell that that dude will ever get out of prison, ever. You couldn't even get him out of prison if the sentence was commuted by a president. They wouldn't let him out. You couldn't even get him out if a president did it. I mean it. There's no way they're letting that dude out of prison ever, ever. So he's probably never getting out of prison. I almost spit out my dinner. I was like, probably. Are you kidding me? That guy's never getting out of jail. Are you? You'd have to be absolutely insane to let that creep out of prison. I don't care. I hope he's listening right now, you freak. Beat your ass. I cannot believe, Mafia, seriously, that no one beat that guy's ass. I can't even believe he's not dead yet in prison. I mean, what do they got him secluded? Where do they got him sequestered? Where is he hidden? Because I cannot believe that guy lasted 5 minutes in prison, what he did to those girls and to those kids. But listen, I know they want to sell Simone Biles to us as the, you know, lead figure here, the lead figurehead of the whole group. But I have to say, I mean, she did a great job. No questions asked. I give her credit. But she was not the one that was, she wasn't a featured attraction today. I got to tell you, when I watched, I thought Allie Raisman and more so, frankly, more so Michaela Maroney. Oh my God. Those two just went up there and eviscerated Nassar and more so eviscerated the FBI. Now, what I got out of that today was this, is that that was not about Larry Nassar. He's finished. He'll die in prison, one way or the other. It was about the FBI. Today, that testimony on Capitol Hill was about throwing the FBI under the bus for their handling of this. Biles, Maroney, Raisman, Gabby Douglas, Jordan Weber, Kyla Ross said that Nassar sexually assaulted them while he was the USA Gymnastics National Medical Coordinator from 96 to 2014. He did it forever, right? The FBI fired Agent Michael Langman after a Justice Department Inspector General report determined he didn't properly investigate allegations of sexual abuse against Nassar. The report stated that Langman and his superior, Jay Abbott, did not respond to the allegations with the urgency that the allegations required. Biles said during her statement, "To be clear, I blame Larry Nassar, and I also blame the entire system that enabled and perpetrated his abuse. The impacts of this man's abuse are not ever over or forgotten. I should never have been left alone to suffer the abuse of Larry Nassar. The 24-year-old has done everything in the Olympics. She's won a million medals, so let's just get through that, okay? She's won everything that there's ever been on the table. Regarded by many as the greatest of all time, she was expected to turn in a repeat performance in Tokyo, but she pulled out. She had mental health issues. She won the silver team event and bronze in the balance beam. She was joined by Race Mamrone and Maggie Nichols, who was the first gymnast to report Nassar's abuse to USA Gymnastics. She was in there today crying left and right. Mamrone was part of the 2012 U.S. team that won gold at the London Games. She also took the silver in the vault. Mamrone said, not only did the FBI not report my abuse, but when they eventually did document my report 17 months later, they made entirely false claims about what I said, end quote. What is the point of reporting abuse if our own FBI agents are going to take it upon themselves to bury that report in a drawer? The Inspector General report determined Langman interviewed Mamrone about her allegations against Nassar in 2015, but he and Abbott lied about how they handled it and never opened an investigation. Listen, I'm going to save you a lot of time here. Not to be disrespectful. They literally, for like 5 hours, torched the FBI and the Inspector General. And I mean to tell you, they eviscerated them. These girls went up there, these women, and they literally destroyed the FBI's reputation. They literally said, Raceman said that she reported the abuse by Nassar, that he was doing horrific things to her. Mamrone did it and said this guy was literally left alone with her. He drugged her. And then he molested her for 8 hours straight one night in his hotel in, it might have been Tokyo. I think it was Tokyo. This isn't now. This is back then at an international event in Tokyo. And she said it destroyed her life, ruined her life, freaked her out. She's got all kinds of post-traumatic stress from it, you name it, everything. The stuff that they talked about today on Capitol Hill was, I mean, graphic, absolutely graphic in nature. I mean, I sat there and listened to what they said this guy did to them individually in molesting them, the things that he did to them, to their bodies and to their minds was evil, like flush porn evil. Guy's a freak. He's absolutely, he's the devil. And I said it before, I'll say it again. I can't believe somebody hasn't whacked his ass in prison. That's amazing to me that that guy's still breathing. What he did to all those girls, I mean, someone explain that to me, how that piece of shag is still alive in prison. Do we not spend our entire lives knowing that if you're like if you're a baby killer or a, you beat women, you're doomed in prison. You're doomed. That guy is a freak, a predator, and he's still alive. That's amazing to me. They must have him in a country club. They must have him in like some isolation cell where no one's allowed near him. He doesn't speak or see anyone ever. And he's not around the general pop ever, literally ever, because I can't believe that little wuss bag would last 5 minutes. Because you've seen him. He's an absolute wussy. They would tear him up like a piece of chicken and eat him alive. They'd eat his organs. That's what they'd do to him. He's a wussy. That guy couldn't handle himself in prison if they made a movie about him handling himself in prison. But anyway, I'll tell you this. The graphic nature of those testimonies today was unbelievable. I mean, it was disgusting. It really was. And I have to tell you, what they did to the FBI today, I'm not sure they ever recover from it. They basically ignored the FBI, ignored these girls, all of them, crying for help that they were being raped by Larry Nassar for years. And when they told them, the FBI, that this guy was raping them and assaulting them and abusing them and torturing them, the FBI allegedly turned their backs and the blind eye to it all and did nothing about it. They pushed everything into drawers. They pushed everything into boxes. They, at one point, one of them said to Maroney, she said that the FBI agent said to her, quote, "Are you done yet?" Like, right in the middle of her testifying about all this torture this guy did to her, the FBI agent said, quote unquote, "Are you done yet? Is that it?" Like, as if, end quote, "I don't have time for this. I've heard enough. Is that enough? Do you got anything else? Because I got to go. Are you finished? Because I'm about done with this." She literally eviscerated this guy. And then they named them all. They named these people at the FBI one by one. And I mean, these people are all finished. Their careers are over. They are finished in the Bureau. They're done. And the guy that runs the FBI now, they sent that poor schmuck out there to apologize for the FBI's handling of it. Now, how do you trust the FBI to do anything ever again when you now know how corrupt they are, that they won't even handle a bunch of girls that are being raped by a doctor in USA Gymnastics? They can't even handle that. Wonder what they do with all their other cases. Handle those just as corrupt, I'm sure. But what a job those girls did to the FBI today. They literally destroyed the Federal Bureau of Investigation, destroyed the FBI. Their name is mud right now.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So Mafia is still trying to figure out my fascination with trying to sleep with gymnasts. He'll figure it out one day. Incredible. Powerful.
I'm trying to figure out. I know they're flexible.
Very, very powerful women. I support all of them in their endeavors, especially decapitating the FBI. Now, the FBI, what are they going to come after me? Because I said that they got eviscerated by a bunch of chicks. I mean, they had it coming. I got nothing to do with any of these people ever. So I don't care what they think of me either. They know they had a bad day today at the FBI. I mean, they got just whacked. I mean, everyone's talking about them. Turn on the news. You'll be hearing about the FBI getting just absolutely done, torched. The Dodgers here late. They were down 2-1, but they're up 4-2 now. Max Muncy hit a home run. They lead the D-backs. Do you know the D-backs are 51 games under 500? You talk about suck. A's 12-9 on the Royals at the K, middle of the ninth, going to the bottom of the ninth. Padres 5-2 on the Giants, bottom five. Red Sox winners today. That was a big win for them. They needed that. That's for sure. You knew that they're hanging with the Yankees. The Yankees stole that game 4-3 over the Orioles. Pirates 5-4 over the Reds. Marlins 8-6 over the Nats. Tigers 4-1 over the Brewers. Jays win again 6-3 over the Rays. Phillies 6-5 over the Cubs. Cards 11-4 over the Mets. Rockies again beat the Braves in 10-3-2. The Braves suck. Indians 12-3 over the Twins, Astros 7-2 over the Rangers, and the Angels beat the White Sox 3-2. Look at the Dodgers trying to add to it. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock on Coast to Coast. Good night.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.